AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. All right, thanks, bud. Big words from Artie, and he's leaving. He's tired of me yelling. You know who's not tired of me yelling are my guests today, comedians, podcasters, writers, directors. They do, between the two of them, do almost every job in the business. Guys, we got Winston Knoll and Alden Ford.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for coming into the High and Mighty Studios.
Long time listener.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be here.
It's nice to have actual shitheads in here every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you said, what's up, shitheads? I was like, I feel seen.
He's talking to us.
I was mouthing along. I was mouthing along to number one fuckboy.
What? Yeah.
Well, that's such a delight, guys. I'm so pumped. We talked about a long time ago when one of the new Star Wars was dropping, or I brought up Star Wars in an episode. Alden emailed me and you literally said, if me and Winston are ever in town, you want to talk about Star Wars, we're in. And I was like, totally. Yeah. And then you were in town doing your podcast, Mission to Zix. And I said, and you guys asked me to do the live show for Mission
Which
to Zix.
Which was awesome. It was so fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
Should be coming out soon or already out, depending on when this episode drops.
It will be... The one you did.
Yeah.
It's a live episode, so we do that. We release those on Patreon. But
even cooler. Yeah, check out the Patreon.
So your premium content.
That's all I wanted to hear. I have a lot of questions about that, but those will be off air.
Sure. Yeah, great. You got it.
Let's hack Patreon together. Artie, stop licking the sweat off Winston's legs.
All right.
He won't stop, though. That's the problem.
Okay.
But when you guys asked me to do Mission to Zix, I'm like, oh, are you doing any other pods? Because let's talk Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oddly, now a hugely polarizing topic.
Yeah. I think when I pitched it, I was like, this will be fun.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, shit.
Uh-oh. This could... Yeah, I do feel that it's like, let's talk Star Wars. And I'm like, oh, this will be fun. And then I think, you know, an hour from now, you'll be like, you dork.
Yeah. It's either like, we're going to be like, wow, that was dorky. Or someone else is going to be like, you know, we're going to be called SJWs or some shit like that. Because I do have like conflicting opinions about Star Wars myself currently.
Sure.
I'm having a hard... Here's my general thesis. Then we'll just get into everything else. But
yeah,
if you told 10-year-old Gabrus or 15-year-old Gabrus or 20 to 25-year-old Gabrus that eventually there will be a Star Wars movie every year,
yeah,
and you aren't going to care that much, is insane. Yeah. I would never believe that.
Right.
But it's truly, and I think, and I have like lumping Marvel and DC fatigue together in a way because as a comic book nerd, like these are things I would have killed to have when I was a kid. Yeah. And now that they're coming out regularly, they're sort of losing their magic.
Yeah, we grew up around the same time, and it was just like there was such a desert. Like, I was so desperate for any more Star Wars. Like, I had like the old encyclopedia and I would just like read it.
I bought, I played the customizable card game, and I would just look at the cards on the bus and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and anything. I read Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, The Bounty Hunter, Shadows of the Empire for Nintendo 64.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Chasing anything you could get.
Yeah, anything. And you're like, is it real? Like, and I think that was the whole thing. It's like, what's canon, what's not? Like, that was the whole thing. But now, I do feel like, for me, it's like pizza. I'm just like, I like pizza.
Yeah.
I'll have another slice of pizza. Like, I don't try to... But I've watched the animated series, the Clone Wars and Rebels, both good.
Yes, I've watched a lot of Clone Wars, none of Rebels, but a lot of people tell me that it's all...
Rebels is supposed to be better.
It's great. Like, and I've read the Marvels come out with Star Wars comics, and those are pretty good. Like, I'm trying to...
See, it's funny to hear you guys say that, because I feel like I'm sort of the worst of both worlds, because I'm still chasing that, like... chasing the dragon of like great Star Wars movies. I'm still excited about the new ones that are coming out, but I don't read like EU novel. Like, I've read a couple of them, but like,
I'm not
the kind of person who's like, I'm like, Clone Wars, I gotta watch this, you know? Like, I've seen maybe like an hour or two of the Rebels series, but for some reason I still pin all my hopes on the movies, which doesn't make any sense. If I like Star Wars that much, I should just be reading and
it
watching
feels
other things.
Better. It feels like they should be like television series instead of like movies.
I think that's coming next, based on like the Marvel model once they have like a Disney.com streaming service,
right,
they could put up like, you know, this is, we're gonna follow just like Young Boba or like the Ig 88 series or whatever.
I feel the same way that you do, though. It's because I saw Solo and I didn't really care,
right? And I was like the trailer didn't excite me at all.
No.
And the trailer was not good. No. I liked the movie okay, but I thought the trailer was very...
I thought the movie was fine.
It's fine.
It just feels... It's
but
only...
why you're saying that about a Star Wars.
Right. Like, I'm saying it about a movie about Han Solo, which is upsetting.
To
see Han Solo in the original trilogy and then say to yourself, like, oh, one day they're going to be a movie about his origin, and it's going to be
fine.
A lot about the dice?
Right. I that's the thing I hated. Like, the things about Solo that I hated was them being like, you're going to need a nickname. Like, that stuff. I was like,
I don't care.
I think a lot of people misunderstand, like, why we like origin stories. I think the creators and or the producers, someone, because a lot of these origin stories are like, wait, we got to figure out how Spider-Man chose red and blue as his uniform.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, no, none of that shit
It was
matters.
Uncle Ben's favorite color. It's who cares? Yeah.
I just want to see, like, the origin story matters because we want to see the character go through that moment.
Right,
yeah.
I don't care how Han Solo got his name. And the fact that he got his last name in that way is embarrassing.
From an Imperial customs officer or
something. It takes away so much. Like, it takes away so much from him as a person.
Well also, it puts Latin into the Star Wars universe. Like, just let that be a name. Like, are we going to learn the origin story of Mon Calamari? That like someone's eating calamari. It's like, oh, that's what your species is called now. Like, no, just let it be.
Hey, Anakin, stop walking on that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I think you
saying the nickname thing, that is...
infuriating.
That sums it up.
That's at its worst. I can't keep calling you Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I guess I should call you Chewie.
Yeah, it's like,
I would
say, explained what a nickname is.
I would say you can do that with, if you need to do that bit, Yeah, you exactly. It's like your name's Jonathan. I'm gonna call you John. And you're like, whoa.
And that's how it started.
John Gabris. Yeah. I see.
Yeah. There are other ways to do it. You could have just had him like stumbling over Chewbacca.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
And just
like,
say, and then he's like Chewie, and then have him have a moment of like, oh, that's kind of like, yeah,
like that. I'll do you one better. Fuck it. Just call him Chewie.
Yeah.
That's a completely logical nickname for Chewbacca.
Right.
Yeah. Especially you don't have to explain the thought process.
You're selling that like Solo is like a rogue raconteur. Like, yeah. He might be the kind of guy that throws nicknames around, right. Like, yeah. Casually. Yeah. Like, I thought the kid, the actor, I was not excited
Alden
about.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy to remember.
Yeah, easy to remember.
Yeah. Now there's two Aldens in Hollywood.
Alden is.
There's one. There's just one.
Still only
there,
one.
Yeah. There was only ever one.
Harrison Ford. Alden.
Yeah.
Alden
Ehrenreich. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I never put that together.
Yeah.
Wow. You have this as like an origin story for yourself.
Yeah, it's the only logical explanation is that I will play incredibly old Han Solo in 60 years. That's
there you go.
fingers crossed.
Yeah. Alden also has, if I'm outing you as the dork, he has like a Han Solo blaster.
Yeah,
that
built. I built a DL-44 and a lightsaber with an original Graflex flash handle.
Okay. I'm sorry.
This is the part I was worried about. That it's like,
by the way, Graphax flash handle sounds like a rogue pilot. You know what I mean? It's like big dark lighter.
Flash handle. That's actually, yeah.
We'll use that for one of our Mission to Zix.
Yeah, I got.
Please tell me what a Graphax flash handle is. That's the most exciting phrase that's ever been said on this. Yeah, that's Latin to me.
So the original lightsaber from A New Hope was made from, like, you know, like in a mob movie, there's the big cameras that like a photographer.
Yeah, go under the cloak. Yeah.
The satellite dish. That there's a the metal tube. One of the really common models of that camera had this metal tube that is 95% of what a lightsaber is. Like it is. You see it and you're like, oh, that's a fucking lightsaber. And then there's like some plastic shit that they taped on, that they glued onto it. But that's all the way almost to a lightsaber. And so there's a big thing where people are buying them from, you know, estate sales or like eBay or whatever, and then they'll get the plastic pieces and put them on, and then it's like a completely, that is literally what they use in the movie.
And, it's just so funny to hear that in a Lucas movie, a guy who's like obsessed with like 1940s and 50s Americana,
yeah, exactly.
And Hollywood,
he would use that.
He
yeah.
actually uses something yeah. like from that, like that's really fun.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just a really...
So you did that. You went online and purchased...
So I found one.
Because you're also a photographer, so you know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I found one on eBay that was genuine. And what also is funny is that there's this like crazy rivalry between Star Wars fans and like vintage camera collectors.
Right,
where they're
all
like, stop buying these and drilling holes in them. Like, this is a camera. This is a piece of a camera. And all the Star Wars fans are like... Fuck you. It's like a $2 piece of metal. Like, it only is important to us.
It's an elegant weapon.
It's an elegant weapon for a more civilized age, obviously. So anyway, I did drill holes in this vintage camera prop. But it's really cool. I really enjoy.
Well, this, I'm saying it now on the air, so I'll remember to tell you this. We're putting this up on Instagram.
Okay,
so,
okay. Awesome.
Just send me the pictures of it.
Okay, I'll send you pictures of it.
And then
later, after I did that, I made Han Solo's blaster as well. Although that one is one where, because it uses a real gun, and it's a, you know, it's a gun from like World War One or something. There are people who are like, oh, I need to have the original gun as I'll buy an actual gun and then drill into it. But of course, those cost like $1,500. So I just bought a replica of that and then attached all the other shit. But
oh, that's
cool, it's actually
man.
Super fun.
That's
super
a real, fun to, it is peak dorkiness, but in a good way. Because
there's something very tactile about it. Like it's
heavy.
The lightsaber is really heavy. And it's
also like,
just,
like the manliest way. Like,
I'm going
to
stop you right there.
No, to be obnoxiously heteronormative for a second.
Sorry, sure.
A manly way to be a Star Wars fan is
to
build stuff.
Yeah, like, it's really good.
Yeah. That's like me. I'm like, I made Chewie's bowcaster out of fucking dental floss.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I always thought that a funny costume would be Chewbacca, but you just wear the bandolier and you're fully nude.
Yeah.
Like you wear just the bandolier dick out and you're like, I'm Chewbacca.
I'm Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I'm wearing exactly
what you think
wears.
He wears a suit. That's so funny.
That's amazing.
That's so fucking cool. I had no idea about that. But Han's blaster is sort of iconic.
Yeah.
And to get it. Like, in the movie, it's
boo.
Like, it feels like
boo.
They put so much weight on other stuff,
yeah.
and then the
yeah.
blaster yeah. was not as I, like...
What I really like about, like, Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff like that is that they have the familiar stuff, but they're willing to expand it. And they're not like, yeah. Rebels has like an episode with Lando in it, an episode of Princess Leia in it. And they're great, but it's not like Lando being like, I should start a cloud city.
You know,
like,
it's like, yeah, it's not a cloud city.
They just, they have an episode where he's a like scumbag smuggler and they all hate him.
Right.
Yeah. And he's just part of the plot, but it's not like, eh? I mean, but it's also, just like he serves a purpose. It's not just like,
but
he's
also
not just
it's
there.
So on brand for Star Wars to fuck up the origin story. Like the prequels, that's everybody's problem with the prequels. It's like, why are we watching this part of Anakin's descent?
That's what
descent?
Makes Solo even more infuriating, that it's like,
you didn't learn your
you didn't learn anything from the
right.
prequels.
And like, it's all like this weird, as people do improv, like we know about like saying something early on, then calling it back later. They're all setting up like these preemptive setups that we don't care about the callback to. Like the dice didn't matter. Like, I wish it was just a cool story about Han Solo and you saw how he got his vibe.
Yeah. Right.
You
yeah,
saw
yeah.
how he got yeah. his like attitude and yeah. his like misanthropy. Like I want to see that in him.
Right.
I want to see him be a cool smuggler. Like I didn't mind at all like the escape at the end. Like I was like, yeah, this is the kind of shit that should be happening.
That was cool.
I don't need like how he got to be everything he got to
be.
Yeah. Like,
no. That's like if somebody did our lives and they were like, what about the moment when they decided that they liked improv? Or it's like, who cares? Like, it's not
also like this. We saw the Kessel Run too. Like,
yeah,
we saw literally everything that came up about Han Solo. Now, if you're setting this movie up and you're trying to create this character of Han Solo, a young Han Solo, do you intend to maybe do more movies?
Yeah.
Should you maybe not hit every single thing you know about the character?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or maybe do something like, what's he, is there something he's afraid of? Like, is there, can we find something
snakes?
Else? Yeah.
No, space snakes. Why did it have to be space snakes?
I would have been like, okay, I'm still on board if that had happened.
It was cool to see Lando in that movie.
Yeah,
and I think it's mostly cool because Donald Glover is very cool.
But he was also good.
The thing you're talking about, it's like dice are an object. Like the gun or the Millennium Falcon, those are objects. Like Lando's a person. That's why it's like, yeah, let's see their relationship. Let's see what they were like when they were when they were young friends
before they had
the falling out. Like that's an interesting concept. Yeah.
And what I don't care about is like Lando. We don't have to justify why Lando has capes on now.
Right. Yeah.
Like show, I did like that they sort of made it a joke at least. Like,
yeah.
The
he's like, oh, he's got a lot of cape. Yeah, that was, and that all of his fashion was just so like
ostentatious.
Out there.
Yeah.
That was great.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and that's something I don't mind. But if he's not like, he's like, you know why it's short for something else. Like Lando's actually, it's like, who cares? Like, I'm a nerd and I don't care, you know? Like,
yeah, I think it's like this weird misrepresentation of like what we want to know about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's not the information. I think, you know what it is? Not that information. It's information in general.
Yeah.
We don't need more info.
Well, and especially
we don't need info we already have to see it played out.
Right. Well, especially as Star Wars fans. Like, that's what Star Trek fans do. Like, Star Trek fans are like...
Yeah, let's rag on them for a while.
Yeah, fuck Star Trek. But like,
I wish I'm not enough of a... I have not watched enough Star Trek to even confidently shit on it.
Yeah.
I'm just absolutely I'm truly overwhelmed by the idea of getting into Star Trek, to be honest.
Yeah.
And all my smartest, most interesting friends really like it. And
yeah,
I'm like,
they're all like pacifists and cool, and we're all like, war!
Yeah. Like, the fact that Neil Casey likes Star Trek and Anthony Tamanic like it make me think I should have just watched it all.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the smarter choice.
I mean, there's some cool stuff in there, but that's the kind of that's the kind of universe where it's like, oh, these 4 years where all that was happening were these two factions were at war. Let's talk about this war. Like, that's a very Star Trek thing.
Right.
That's a very Star Trek blank to fill in.
Yeah.
And that's not a Star Wars blank to fill in at all. Like, we don't...
Yeah.
As that fandom doesn't care about that
stuff. What we like about Han Solo is that, like, he has a past that is mysterious. And we don't need to know, like, now how did he get to Greedo? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, and it's also the same
there's
as...
no mystery. It's like, if you want a mysterious character, like,
Do their origin story.
Here's exactly how they became so mysterious.
Well, this is the thing that even when I heard about the Obi-Wan origin story, I was like, I don't care. And when Boba Fett, I was like, I don't care. Because it's like, what's cool about the universe to me is that
there are other characters.
And it's like there's a lot of adventures going on that, God, I sound so terrible.
Yeah, you just
there's
yelled
so many
the word
adventures going on.
Where are my adventures?
Yeah. But there's what I do like about Rebels is that it's like, here's a whole nother crazy ass thing that's happening that is completely divorced from like,
right,
Luke Skywalker.
And it's so easy because it's in an infinite world.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing that
we can
makes
see
me
young Boba Fett just hunting, just being a bounty hunter.
Yeah. Right.
We don't have to establish that he's like the clone of a stormtrooper of his dad or whatever.
Yeah. Or you can make an entirely new bounty hunter character and just have just like, not, and make them the new Luke Skywalker of your, you know, like
right,
do something
exactly
cool.
But we have the world, we have the tech, we know about lightsabers, we know about Jedis, but maybe they're not all. So, I would love to see a movie about a group of young Jedis, like a fucking Three Ninjas, but with Jedis.
That's your group of warriors?
Well, point of reference? Like young
they love pizza, they're just cool.
Yeah, like young Jedis get like four Jedis, they're turtles. They each have a different color headband on.
Yeah, I love it. Because an orange lightsaber, a red lightsaber.
I will say, you use Rebels as an example, but I'll keep it in throw it into a movie as an example.
Yeah,
that's why I dug Rogue One.
Yeah,
because I thought it was cool where it was like, this is something that's mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that we don't have to see like everyone establishing like TIE fighter.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Is there a quicker way to say that? You know, I'm just glad that they were like, we like went to the world and we're like. Stealing the Death Star plans was something that's mentioned in the movies and and it's sort of glossed over and we don't owe any details to it except for many something were died that day.
Right. And we can even like
Bothans, by the way.
But that's that's in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that's
Return.
Yeah.
But it's like and that's why they're able to kill every character in that. And
right. And then
awesome.
And you know that they're not gonna like you know who's gonna
pop
make it and who's not gonna make
great.
It. Yeah.
And yeah, and that's why those work. And you know, Rian Johnson is, or that's his name, right?
Yeah.
He's doing like a whole other
trilogy.
And it's like, that's what we were talking about. Like, that's what we're most excited about.
That's what I'm excited about, too.
I want to see somebody else do totally new characters.
I think there's something about a fantasy world. Like, I think for me, a fantasy world is exciting because you want to be in that world.
Yeah.
And so you look up to the hero of that story. You know, it's like, I want to be Luke Skywalker. But like, I don't need to necessarily see Luke Skywalker in the next story. Like, I want to see his whole story.
Yeah.
But, like, that's why Rogue One is cool, because it's like, oh, here's another scenario I could picture myself being in.
Right.
Rather than being like, oh, Han Solo's still around. Like, let's check in with him.
Yeah. I also thought it was, like, completely objective and well known that none of the characters in Star Wars are as interesting as the world is, right? Like, it's a plethora of characters for a reason,
right?
Yeah,
you know, like some of the most interesting characters in Star Wars are because George Lucas or someone just picked out a makeup or picked out a costume, put them there, and then we created the lore all around them, writers and whoever use stuff. Though, Luke Skywalker is not like someone where I'm like, I need to know everything that happened to Luke. I want to know what Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru were like. I got to know. I want to know what moisture farming is like. No, for me, it's
what
like
is moisture farming.
And that's kind of what annoyed me about the episode 7. No.
Last Jedi?
Force Awakens?
Force Awakens.
Yeah, the first new one. Yeah.
The first new one. I was like, I understand that it should be a little bit of a reflection of New Hope to get everyone on board to the these are the rules of the movie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't you think like, what was it? Not Jakarta. That's a real city.
Jakku.
Could Jakku just not be desert?
Yeah,
I know.
Jungle planet.
Right. Just like, it could be fucking forest. It could be hills. It could be literally anything. But the fact that it's a desert planet just makes it.
It insults your intelligence. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like,
it's like no one. Of all the amount of people that work at LucasArts and Disney and all that, no one was like, what if we just didn't do exactly like the first movie?
It does feel like they don't think anybody has imagination. And it's like, but that's the whole reason nerds are into this.
Yeah,
we like projecting ourselves
you
into it.
You taught us that the desert was cool. We didn't think... Yeah. We didn't like New Hope because it was desert.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what gets me about all these movies, even the Marvel movies. Yeah. It's like, I don't like these characters because I love when they're all together just making noises.
Yeah,
like,
Empire Strikes Back is the best because it has snow in it.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, Jedi was my favorite because of Ewoks.
I was
a kid. But like, you like Empire when you get older because you're like, this is a fucking heavy-duty, awesome movie.
Yeah.
That has great interpersonal relationships amongst its main characters.
Yeah, it's charming. Like there's like
it's charisma.
How have you guys felt about the new stuff that's come out?
I mean, I'm pretty easygoing about it. I don't know whether I have like a healthy distance from my expectations or whether I just am very easy to please, but I actually haven't had too much to complain about in the
movie. I didn't dislike episode 7. Why do I keep
Last
forgetting?
Jedi?
Force Awakens.
Yeah. I didn't hate Force Awakens. I just was like, it's like there's so much great stuff in it. It was just crazy that they couldn't do slightly more.
Yeah.
But that's
what did you think of Last Jedi?
Last Jedi, I thought, was better than, you know, I thought that was a better movie for
it
sure.
It did new stuff.
Well, it did new stuff. It was cool. I liked, I really like Poe and Finn. I think those are great characters.
Yeah.
Characters that we don't, are new. They're new characters.
Yeah.
But there's nothing new about a stormtrooper or new about a rebel pilot.
Right.
But the take on it that, Poe is pretty much Han Solo, but working with the rebellion and Finn is pretty much Luke, but instead of being a farmer, he was a stormtrooper. Yeah,
right.
It's like, it's cool. That's what you do.
The same but different.
Yeah,
and then we get not to see, the same but the same.
Right? Like I was upset when the fact that like Leia, like she's in the end of Rogue Nation, right? Rogue One.
Rogue Nation.
That's a weird,
weird reveal.
And it was pissed because she didn't show up in Fallout. So I was very confused. I just saw Fallout last night, and I've rewatched that whole series.
I've heard Fallout's awesome.
It's fucking great, guys. Yeah. It's really fun.
Man.
I'll probably end up doing an episode about it because I love it so much. But
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Exciting. He's risking his life for us, and we all went really to go see the movies.
Yeah.
I literally left that movie theater saying, I think Scientology works.
Yeah.
Because this guy is like doing things that no one can do.
Yeah.
Solely with the power of Xenu.
That's really funny.
I really enjoyed The Last Jedi, and I thought I couldn't even believe people cared that it was a force projection at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe that people cared that much.
See, that's the thing that, I mean, I think what we're talking about is, like, we're all talking about execution stuff. Like,
right.
Look, I don't have a problem with Han Solo movie. I don't need to know about the dice. Like, that's an execution issue.
Right.
And it's like, all of these people are getting so worked up about Last Jedi. They're like, that is not the story that I'm, you know, that's not what Star Wars is.
Yeah,
it's like, fuck you. You don't know.
Right. You didn't get hired to write it. So, like,
bummer. Exactly. Can't wait to see your Star Wars movie.
I think a lot of people wanted, there was a part of me that's like, oh, it'd have been awesome to see Luke Skywalker, like, being a badass and being great, but it's
or
like,
get killed,
right?
Even,
but it's like, but that's not when I watched it. I was like, oh yeah, this is actually more true to like the ethos of the whole. Like
Luke was only a badass once, and he was maybe arguably too evil,
right? Like, exactly,
that was the whole point of that scene.
Yeah, the whole thing is like pacifism is like. We got to stop these Star Wars. Too much going on.
You got to stop all these Star Wars.
There's too much happening.
Yeah,
but also I think it's awesome. I do remember watching Force Awakens and seeing like when Rey grabs the lightsaber. I got like goosebumps.
Me
like
too.
It was so cool
moment. Yeah.
To see it, and it is crazy that and like the prequels and all the her surrounding stuff has put a better emphasis on women as like just as capable as men.
Right.
But like it was really cool to see that happened.
She's great, by
the
way.
Yeah.
She's so good.
She's so good. And it was just really, it's hard because I think some people have legitimate, I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, I don't want to out him, but he was like, I don't like it for these storytelling reasons. And it's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, and he's like, and I truly have no problem with any of the like parts about Rey and parts about Luke Skywalker. He's like, I just structurally don't like elements of the movie.
Right.
I was like, that's totally fine. But yeah, it is. I mean, like the thing that we're all worried about talking about is that how mad everybody gets about it. Right.
Well, here's something we're not saying also is that like, these are children's movies.
Wait.
Like we must say,
edit that out.
That's like, if I have one request, please cut that. That's like a blanket statement that like everyone needs. And I know that's like the go-to quote retweet is like, these are children's movies. Calm down.
Right.
But the reason we have such an attachment to them is because they fucking starred puppets and had bright colors and we saw them when we were 10.
Right. And they take a very basic approach to like, good versus evil, basic human decency.
Right.
The power of pacifism. It's like these are lessons we should already all know.
It's not that complex.
That said, I'm excited for the next one. I don't know. I thought it was great. The Last Jedi. I was a little bit like, okay, they're bringing Yoda back. It feels like, should they be bringing Yoda back?
I thought, I think that's another, and that's my thing too, where it's like, I have this theory about Marvel movies, and I'm going to expand it into Star Wars movies, or at least my take is, I think they should try to break away from the idea of Marvel movies and make movies in all different genres that happen to be Marvel movies. Like, why can't we see
Logan,
or even like a film noir that stars do that for Star Wars too. Like, what is the X-Men version of Star Wars where that's the Jedi Academy, now we see six characters we've never seen with a teacher we've never seen before, and it's just a Jedi Academy on a random, they all know about the teachings of Master Yoda or something, it's like the illusion.
That's another reason why Rogue One was so good, was it wasn't just another chapter in this good versus evil thing. It was like, hey, it's a heist movie. It's a tragic heist movie
with all new cast. And like, we need the muscle, we need the witty one, we need this.
And that's the reason why I think, as much as I don't need to know more about Obi-Wan Kenobi, the idea of an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie that's set on Tatooine, and it's like a samurai style where he's just like, he just decides to defend this village of people.
Yeah, it's like Unforgiven
I like that idea. Yeah. But I mean,
that's Logan, probably never that's old man Ben,
And so I like the idea of like using the characters we know to put them in different situations, which is why Logan was good. If Logan had been, if Logan had been a character we'd never met before,
an arbitrary guy with claws and muscles,
But like, I think the fact that it's taking something we know about their character and not saying like, bet you didn't know this about them, it's saying like, let's follow this thread to a place that you haven't been yet see what that character would do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, even like when they inevitably reboot the X-Men, now that they can combine the worlds, and it's I hope it's not so Wolverine centric. They've always been it's like, it's time. And that's why I loved Rogue One. I keep wanting to call it Rogue Nation. I loved Rogue One for that reason, because it was a cool heist movie in the world. Yeah. So you could expect some of the backstory of Rebels and this and you can tie it into some other stuff, but it's a whole new cast of characters we've never, and that's why I thought I was excited for Solo, because I thought that's what that was going to be. Right. And they tie it all back to Darth Maul. So crazy.
It's nuts.
And also, how old is Han Solo in, like, what's the ages of Solo then? Because I want to track this.
Yeah.
Because Darth Maul dies in the prequels.
In Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. So is maybe this thing.
He comes back. Lucas requested. I think Lucas realized he fucked up by killing Darth Maul. And
the only interesting character.
Which, like, how awesome would that have been if he had showed, like, Anakin, because he kills Qui-Gon, Anakin has like an axe to grind, and that's what tips him. Like, that would have been so much better. Right. And he gets to come back and be fucking awesome in other movies.
Yeah.
But, George Lucas told the guy who made Clone Wars, he's like, I want to bring Darth Maul back. And so they bring him back, and he becomes this, like, he and Obi-Wan see each other again. And then he comes back in Rebels, too.
Interesting.
And that's after, so Solo falls.
This is fine.
You can give me a swirly at the end of it. Just be like, nerd. Clone Wars, and then Solo, and then he comes back in Rebels, and he's, like, fallen out of power, and
he's like
trying,
a crime boss now,
and he's trying to like grasp onto power during Rebels. And then Rebels, can I spoil one episode of Rebels,
please?
They do an episode where the main character goes to Tatooine, and like, it's the only, but they have Kenobi and Darth Maul, and Obi-Wan Kenobi is like old, and he's like, I don't want to fight you. And Darth Maul's like, I will have my revenge on you. And they light up the lightsabers, and it's a 2-second fight. It's like a samurai fight where he like comes at him, and Obi-Wan kills him in like 2 strokes and holds him as he dies. And it's like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, it's awesome, because it's like,
that's what I'm talking about.
But
that's like
Obi-Wan,
that's like
being
a genre,
like the most Jedi, and like being like, I have pity. I pity you. Yeah, I'm not mad at you.
Right.
And the other guy's just so eaten up by revenge. And it was like, and it's fucking beautiful. They like do it in Tatooine, and it's like flat, and it's all these stars, and they
just—it's
fucking rules.
Yeah. I might have to fucking binge all of this.
It's so great, but it was like, that's the way to use like the stuff we already know in like satisfying ways.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like really cool. So that's like, so Darth Maul falls between, like that Solo shit is happening after Clone Wars, but before Rebels.
Oh, okay.
Well, that,
okay.
That's when I was like, oh, that's cool. But I was also like, feel like I might be the only one in this theater who knows, like who's seen all that shit. Right. I was like, this has to be really confusing for somebody who hasn't.
Yeah.
But I feel like Disney wants you to watch everything and read everything, or you won't get it. And I think that sucks.
Like, that's the old comic book mentality.
Yeah.
And I think
it's such a comic
book.
And I think that's what they think is making the Marvel movies successful, is that they're all popping into each other's movies. And, but it's more about like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans being in the same movie is what.
Yeah.
Like,
and Taika Waititi.
Yes, exactly. Of course you love Captain America. Of course we all like Captain America.
Right.
But give us a new character to like and we'll love him.
Right.
I think like we love Thor now. He's not the Thor of the comic books.
Yeah,
you know
right,
what
right.
I mean?
Not at all.
We don't love him because of his hammer. Yeah. We love him because Chris Hemsworth has made this character come to life.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
He's been written in a very interesting way and directed in a fun way.
Yeah. He's too funny to be as attractive as he is.
Right. Like, it's brutal. I hate it. Gosling, John Hamm,
What's going on?
At least Chris Pratt was like got attractive.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Not handsome.
Right.
Like those people, like when I saw The Nice Guys, I was so mad because I was like, man, Gosling is actually funny.
Yeah.
And he's a talented actor. And then John Hamm is funny. And then also you find out he has like a 10-inch dick. You're like, come on, man. Spread some of that around.
Right.
I'll take 1 inch. Like, please.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like...
But like more movies should be... I think more movies should be like Rogue One. Don't worry about the origin stories of Han Solo. But if you want to show me like the smuggler's underworld and we see and Lando pops in at some point and we see some and Ig 88 is at the bar or like one interaction with Bosk, in addition to all these new characters in a new world, but it is the world of Star Wars, so we get why there's hyper.
Yeah. So just like just be willing to walk away from something. Like everybody wants more Star Wars. It doesn't need to mean that we want more
original
Boba
trilogy.
Fett.
Yeah.
Like necessarily. Like it can be if that's the best story to tell, but it's like you don't have to keep your characters around to keep the world around.
You can set it 1,000 years before New Hope and it would still be
That's why Knights of the Old Republic is so good. There's not a single character you will ever hear about again in the whole universe.
Right. And it's
and
not
it's good
because
it's just
anything.
A great story.
It's not like, wow, I hope in 1,000 years there'll be a New Hope. Like it's like who cares? Like,
I'll bury this pair of dice right here under this rock.
Right. I think
maybe
they're afraid.
Someone will find it.
I think they're afraid to do anything new because they don't want to like get people mad.
Right. But also it's because they're making so much money on every movie and every movie costs so much money. But like Solo kind of, and even if you loved Solo, it still tarnishes Harrison Ford's appearances him a little bit because because now two actors
dilutes
have played
it a little
this,
bit.
It just dilutes, which is fine.
Yeah.
In a way, but how are you going to do that for every character? Like we, do you want like someone who's seen all the new movies to then go watch the old movies and be like, what the fuck it like?
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's why like, I want to make like the fucking martial arts movie that is about Jedis or like, you know,
or about all those the Keeper of the Wills or whatever, like those like non-Jedi Force users, like Rogue One.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was awesome.
Those
that's
characters
such a cool,
were like,
That was like, what the fuck are those? I want to know what those guys.
And now they exist.
Yeah.
We know they die.
Yeah.
But can't we see them, you know, a year before that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And or their buddies.
Yeah. Also, think about this, Marvel. I mean, Disney and Marvel. You're all one now anyway. Think about this, Texaco, Disney, Exxon, Valdez.
Entertainment company.
USA Entertainment International. Why not have a movie starring those two guys? Hey, it doesn't hurt that they're both Asian too. You know what I mean? It's what's their whole world? You know, what's their whole world?
Yeah.
Like, let's see any alien that we've interacted. It's like those characters were so cool.
Yeah.
And they're such an interesting story. Let me see the band of rebels that got up to that point. Put Forrest Whitaker in it too. Fuck
yeah.
Yeah.
Who is also in,
he's also
in Rebels. Yeah.
Oh, and he voices it too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, we do have a confession to make.
Okay.
Alden and I both play a tabletop RPG Star Wars game.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Oh, okay. Cool. Hold on.
You just one-upped my lightsaber strike.
Wait, this is pretty exciting because I tried to get one going my whole childhood. I played avid D&D player. We played every week for 15 years.
Yeah.
But the Star Wars RPGs that came out at the time never really excited us. So we always played the customizable card game, the CCG.
Yeah, it's good.
But is it a newer RPG module? Or
no,
is it...
it's the old one. It's the 90s one. There is a newer one that's functionally, like, the mechanics are a little different. But, I mean, yeah...
Our Galaxy Master.
Yeah.
Our Galaxy Master.
Your GM.
Yeah, our GM. He did, like, he customized elements of that old game. And he's also like, I'm setting it at this time period, and there are no Jedi. Like, did stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
that's fun,
like,
though.
Yeah, exactly. So he was like, I'm taking all the bad stuff out, making it easier to play.
I definitely own somewhere in here or in storage, I own the books.
The guidebook for it.
Because
I
bought them to be like, I'm going to learn how to play this got... I was at that age where I could just read the rule. Like, I remember...
you had time to just leaf through a rule book.
Do you remember...
700-page rule book?
This might be too specific, but did you ever do this nerdy-ass thing on the drive home from, like, the store with your new video game with your mom? You're, like, reading the instruction manual?
Yeah,
manual.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I can't wait
to
play.
Jump.
Like, this way I could just get in there and be ready to rock. Okay.
The five paragraphs of lore. Okay, I got the story.
Yeah,
I feel great.
I'm going to fill up this notes section with so many notes.
I'm ready to rock.
Yeah, but we play... It's fun because the thing I actually like about it is that because it's a world that we know, it's so easy. Like, it doesn't actually take as much imagination as Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually leads when you do, like, a misfire or, like, some sort of, like, dumb... movement.
Also,
it's actually very funny because
so
you're thinking of, like,
what that
Star
would look
Wars.
Like.
And there's also so much comedy in... That's the thing about Dungeons & Dragons. Like, if you royally fuck up, like a dwarf, like, royally fucks something up, you're like, well, there's not a whole... I don't have a frame of reference for that in an existing thing. But in Star Wars, like, there's so much humor in it that, like, if a droid explodes, you're like, oh, that's... I can imagine that having
what that
film,
would look
and
like.
It's really funny, you know. Like, so
we
there's
killed somebody
so much...
with a broom by, like, I rolled, like, a critical by hitting somebody with a broom, and it was just this idea of being in, like, a Star Destroyer and just hitting somebody with a broom, and they're like,
but yeah, it's
explodes.
Like Han Solo knocking Boba Fett off the ship,
exactly.
Or like shooting the comm device.
It's very fun.
Yeah, sorry, when he shoots the comm.
Yeah, right. It's like there's so much stuff like that that's like that feels
boring conversation
like the
anyway.
Same world.
Yeah.
No, you should give it a shot. You should get back in there.
You guys are appealing to me. See, I also think there's a genre of world that we haven't seen in Star Wars yet either. It's like hand-to-hand combat. Like, lightsabers.
Yeah.
Make the blood sport.
Like Bruce, or like a Bruce Lee
style. Make a martial arts movie.
Yeah,
make
a
movie about a fighting tournament that's on some weird island somewhere. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you could do that. Like, again, I'm always wondering, how long have they had spaceships?
Yeah.
Like, how long have they had lasers?
Droids.
Is that...
A long time.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten the technology any better
right,
in 1,000 years.
And that's the other thing that's...
Is it like muskets?
That's
where
like a muzzle-loading laser.
Well, they do that sort of in Star Wars, which kind of drives me crazy. It's like old lightsabers are like... look like two-handed swords, lightsabers. Like the tech is like weirdly like the dude who has like a fucking shop vac for a machine gun on his back, but he still shoots lasers.
You can't miniaturize the
That's really funny.
What's in there then?
Like lasers?
Tons of lasers.
If something could go in your holster and fire relentless lasers, why does it have to, why do I have to have a backpack?
Never seen anyone reload a pistol.
In the video games, you would. You'd have to find batteries or what
ion charges or
I
whatever.
Remember.
Well, I mean, I think that there's but you're saying something that is so true, but it also seems like so many properties can't do that. Like, there's like, what is it? Like the new Jack Reacher movie or there's a, one of those like action,
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan. There's like a new Jack Ryan where it's like, oh, it's a different or like the Bourne movies where it's like, oh, there's a different Bourne. Who gives a shit? I don't care.
Right.
Like you're sitting on a gold mine, Disney. Like you have a world where people are like, I'll see different characters in this world.
Right,
I don't care. It's like Jurassic Park is the same way where it's like, I don't need to see different characters battling different dinosaurs. Like, but I do want that with Star Wars. Like, I want to see more
It's a richer world, like Marvel, I think we're going to see what happens. Like, Fast and the Furious is doing a Hobbs, like a Statham, a Rock two-hander.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, that's interesting, but that world is not nearly as rich as
any of the other ones.
But, like, I think that's the shit that these Marvel movies should be looking for. Like, show me.
Yeah.
Like, I like that... Ragnarok is like a Thor and Hulk two-hander for a chunk of it and stuff like that. But think even smaller. You know, think even smaller.
Did you see,
let me see like Night Thrasher, like living in,
Or like a weird new character, like debut a new character in the MCU. Have it be like Rocket's brother or something. And you're like, oh shit, this is a guy we like because we've seen him in movies. We don't have any preconceptions about him. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be fun.
Did you see Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yes.
I thought that was fun.
I thought it was fine. Yeah, it was cool. And honestly, that movie is as boring or as good as a few of the other movies, but Paul Rudd just brings it all up.
Great.
Yeah.
I think they're going to kill, not to go back to Marvel, but I think they're going to like kill a
I think Iron Man and Captain America are part of it. They're going to...
I love that fake out in Infinity War though, where you thought it was going to be Iron Man, and then he's like, "No, I'm alive," and you're like, "Oh, it's everybody else actually."
Yeah.
Well, that like the snap is going to be undone, but then people are going to die.
Well,
if they don't, there's no stakes. But also, Iron Man and Captain America have both been in 10 Marvel movies.
I think because it's like it's no joke that that's all the original Avengers that all survived the snap, I think they're like. One last ride, basically. Those guys are probably not going to make
it. What do you think, though, if Iron Man dies, if Tony Stark dies in the MCU?
Yeah.
Here's my thing.
Okay.
What do you do? Is Iron Man no longer a character? Do they give it all to Don Cheadle? Does War Machine come out sort of like that? Or Iron Man doesn't die, but a new actor, like, you know, just like someone else is playing Tony Stark.
You can't James Bond him, I don't
think. Can you James Bond him?
I don't think so.
Not when other characters are staying the same, right?
Yeah,
it's too weird. Because I was wondering if you can, like, just someone else is playing Captain America now, and you just go, oh, weird haircut, you know.
Yeah, right.
Steve.
I also think it takes the stakes away, too. It's like, if you don't die, then it's like...
I'm saying, like, some characters could die and some characters could be replaced, but that doesn't make much sense.
No, I think you need to kill them, because also, like...
But then Iron Man and Captain America are not in the movies anymore.
Yeah.
I think so. And I think...
But you have Black Panther, who's... Right. More successful than both of those characters in the movies.
I guess the question, like, there's no other Iron Man. Like, there isn't another human who is Iron Man in the comics, right?
Right. Iron Man does die in the comics, or something happens where his consciousness gets uploaded into an AI. But they had Brian Bendis, who's a comics writer, has like an adopted African-American daughter.
Yeah.
And he's like, she doesn't have any comic heroes. I am making a character who becomes the new Iron Man, who's like a 17-year-old African-American genius and builds her own Iron Man armor based off of his technology.
See, I can see them doing
kicks
that.
Ass. And, you know, some people liked it. And some people didn't.
I wonder which operative word in 17-year-old African-American woman really got people up in arms.
Yeah, sure.
God, people are fucking monsters.
It's like, who? But that's the whole thing.
I think the only person that's allowed to complain about something like that is the creator of Iron Man.
Right.
Is the only person who's allowed to say, and they still shouldn't. They should still go like, interesting to see the new take.
I understand how comics work. Yeah.
Right.
But that's the only person that could be like, oh, I always kind of saw it as like this drunk old white. But anyone else who's a fan, you're like, shut the fuck up, man. Yeah. Who cares?
But that's the whole thing with the Star Wars movies and how you said, like, they're children's movies. Like, we don't need to project ourselves onto Han Solo and to Luke Skywalker anymore. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, right. We shouldn't.
I don't need to do that to feel like... Yeah.
My new hero is Malala.
If I'm still looking
topical?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Probably. If I'm still looking at Mark Hamill and being like, well, that's not what I do. It's like I need to find a new role model.
It's your issue, not the movies at that point.
Right, but that's I think what people like, it's crazy that it's like you can't watch a property that doesn't have like a white male in it that you can hold on. Like you can't understand it if it's fucking Star Wars. Yeah. Like, it's blasters and lasers. It's not like, man, this really gets the white male condition. It's like, who cares?
Yeah. It's not even that. It's really funny because now I'm out of pocket here talking.
Here we go. Here we go.
I have no idea. I'm leaning into territory where I don't know what I'm talking about at all. But like, the reason is white men get upset when this shit happens is because they're racist against change sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they'll guise it as like, I'm actually just upset with the story about it or whatever.
Right.
But it's often they're losing representation.
Yeah.
They don't see themselves. Now, Can't you, transitive property, imagine what it would be like for the African-American 17-year-old female who's never seen a young black woman be a superhero?
Well, that
like, you can't be like, all right, you can have Iron Man. I'll keep all the rest for now.
Well, that's what
I remember someone said about Star Wars. It's like this fucking, you know, there's all kinds of aliens and there's only one black dude. There's a family of Wookiees here, and it's like, well, we have one black human.
It's also insane. In the original trilogy, they have somebody cut together all the women's lines that aren't Leia, and it's like 14 seconds
long.
Oh my god, it's so insane
because when you actually think about it, you're like, right. Other than Mon Mothma, it's like she's literally the only woman who speaks in those
movies.
Insane.
Yeah. And she's a princess and she needs to be read. She's a well-written character. She's great. Yeah, but at the same time, it is like the only.
It is wild. Go look that up, because it is just like, oh my God, three movies. Like,
And it's funny because it's like, yes, that's the 70s. It's war. So it's like in our heads, that's what men did.
Right.
But now it's like, remember, it's a galaxy far, far away in a time long gone.
There was a tweet a few weeks ago. Somebody had posted, one of these anti-TLJ guys posted a picture of Laura Dern and was like, can you imagine someone who looks like this ever getting to the top of the chain of command? And somebody replied like, one of the commanders was a fish. One of them was literally a squid.
Exactly. One of them had jowl. Yeah, one of them was a big crawdad.
Yeah,
you're going to make a complaint about a woman with purple highlights?
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's not realistic.
Like, how is that? But it's such a transparent look into like the things that get these people. You know, it's like, that's the thing you have a problem with. It says so much about you. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also like, and now I'm again going out of pocket here.
Yeah, get in there.
But like, we were young straight boys watching Star Wars. We were in love with Princess Leia because possibly, I mean, she is magnificently beautiful and amazing character, but she is also the only woman in the movie. Yeah. So you fall in love with her. God forbid we have a few more like women to fall. Like, God help. Like, from just the most heteronormative straight POV, it's like, Laura Dern's beautiful and she's talented. It's amazing to see her in this movie.
Well, and that's why their argument is bullshit. It's like, oh, you have to relate to every single person see on camera. Like, what about learning about someone? What about like appreciating what they're doing? Like, insane.
I know, it's really funny. It's like, I don't know if that character would rise to the ranks. Luke would be fucking washed out of anything he was a part of immediately.
Yeah,
such a fucking dork. The bullies at like Jedi school would fucking whoop his ass and he would quit and go back to moisture.
Yeah,
sorry, Aunt Beru, I'm back. What happened? You guys are all roasted.
We're about to do the biggest attack in the history of the rebellion. I fly. Great. Put him in the expensive X-Wing and send him to his death. It's what the fuck? Like, then, like, Rey is too powerful? Like, come on. Yeah. Like, that's so lame.
Wait, that just reminded me of a random sketch my friend did, like, this would be before we even started doing it. Like, this was in the late 90s, but he was talking about it years later. It was the guys in the control room, and he's like, all right, I'm shutting off my targeting computer. And then you see the guy, like, put his hand over the thing. He goes, he's shutting it off? That thing costs 1.6 billion credits. It's got to work. It's like, he's using the Force. They're like, what? Why is he in the ship if he's using the Force? We got him the fucking targeting computer. We could have given the targeting computer to anyone. He's just up there shutting it, and everyone's arguing about the logistics. And it's so true. It's leave it on. Use the Force and the targeting computer.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
And then you see the shot. It's like, ding, dong. Like,
the like missile's curved down.
It's like kicking a penalty kick without a goalie. It's like a huge hole and he's driving at you. You're like, oh, good thing he shut the targeting computer off.
Yeah. That stuff is so insane. And it's just like, why doesn't every, I don't know. I don't, it's so dumb. I think one of the things that people have problems is like the thing that we were talking about at the very beginning, when it was such a desert and it was just, if you were into it, it wasn't everybody because it wasn't accessible.
Right.
And now I think there's also not only like, I'm not getting represented, but now like everybody can like this thing.
Well, there's also there's also an element of like, now everyone's hanging out at this bar I like.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's an element of like, this used to be not crowded, used to be for me, and now everyone's into it.
Which is such a, I mean, that's a fine reason to not want to go to a bar. It's a terrible reason to not want to go to a movie.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's like more people enjoying it just means you get more.
Yeah, also like you don't have to be in the theater with every single one of those people.
You can watch it however you want these days. I think a big part of it for these people too, or for us and for everyone watching these movies, is I think they're forgetting like that you watched one movie when you were 10 and you're watching the next movie at 35 or 10 and 25, you know, whatever the age difference is. And now you're just slightly more critical and like slightly more aware of the world and shit.
We were just talking about how mad, can you imagine social media if Return of the Jedi happened and they're like, Luke and Leia are brother and sister, and they never ever foreshadowed any part of it in either Star Wars or Empire, and then all of a sudden they're
George Lucas would have been,
not even in the beginning of like Return of the Jedi was there any sort of indication that they were brother and sister, and he's like, your brother and sister, like people would have lost their minds.
Imagine Ewoks in the age of Twitter.
Imagine
the casting announcement that Warwick Davis was cast as like a tiny bear that fights AT-AT walking.
People
would be like,
yeah,
Luke and Leia are meant to be together.
They should still fuck. Weird hill to die on, man. But it is like, you saw the movie when you were young. Of course, now that you see it older and you're like, the characters, you're like, oh, like Luke is so cheesy. I'm like, Luke's always been like, the complaints, like, oh, they marry suit, whatever, they made Rey too powerful. It's like, everyone's too powerful, and the force is so ambiguous and works in its favor and against it, where it's like Luke first learns to use the force by
blowing up
it starts with like, wear a blindfold and block lasers from a floating ball.
Yeah.
Float a couple of fucking suitcases. Yeah. And then by the end, he's like using it to shoot lasers from a spaceship. Yeah. Like the force works on your spaceship. Like it works on technology. Then what is the limits to it?
Yeah.
And everything's overpowered. Like, it's like, that's
it's a power fantasy for somebody to go in and put themselves in those things and be like, how cool would it be?
I think that's a not spoken about appeal of Marvel movies, of comic books and these superhero movies, and even like the Die Hard movies and the Fast and the Furious movies is like, but more specifically to Jedis and superheroes, where it's like, these are, if I could just have a superpower.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't have to exercise, learn, do martial arts. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have to do anything. I could just be good at something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the dream.
And then the shitty, only the shittiest among us are like, but I don't want a girl to have that power.
Right. And it's also, that's the thing that's so sad to me about the whole thing, is like, the people who wanted these power fantasies were kids like me who weren't athletic, who were worried about getting picked on, who felt powerless in their lives.
Right.
Yeah. And to not be able to go through that and have empathy for other people, be like, I know what it's like to feel picked on, or like, it wasn't nearly as bad because I'm, again, like a white kid in the 80s.
There's
fine.
There's no bigger bully in the world than a loser who gets status.
I know.
Insane. And honestly, and then like, there's no bigger bully, no bigger misuse of power. Like, I'm going to just be very vague here, but like,
sure.
The biggest bully then theoretically, the biggest job you could, the most power you could have.
I'm not even thinking on that scale. I'm thinking on a more smaller personal scale. All right, now you can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, but
sometimes film nerds end up getting a little power in their head and sort of being aggressive and unnecessary and like believing their own hype.
Right.
And I think you see that because, like, I know it's so corny, and now I can't wait to be accused of like virtue signaling or whatever
Sure.
So I've been accused of virtue signaling a few times, and I looked it up what it was, and it's like,
be nice.
Being nice to, but like under the guise of like, letting people know you're nice. I'm so confused.
So you can never say you should be nice because
I don't fully understand why it's a negative thing to virtual say. But I think what the real negative of it is like being phony and being like,
I'm such a good guy.
Yeah, if all of us sat around and were like, we're all about women in comedy. Meanwhile, like, I'm like, I want that fucking woman's job.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm
we're
being
not
earnest.
Casting women.
Virtue signaling I have a problem with is being at a restaurant and being like, excuse me, what's 40% of $22?
That's a good, that's a mega douchebag. It's like,
from across the room.
Anyone else's giant dick get wet when they use the urinal? It's like, all right. But like the Patton Oswalt, like some people get in the door and pull the door closed behind him. Nerds, and I'm using the term loser, and that's not a fair term because it's more derogatory.
Yeah.
But I was that too. Like, people were picked on, people were bullied. And you looked at Star Wars and you're like, look at this magical world where Luke, who's clearly the biggest fucking dork in the galaxy, can get powers and be badass and wear black turtlenecks.
And it's also then later rewarded for not using it.
Right.
Like, it's having power that he chooses not to use.
It's so interesting. And then like, instead, these people will be like, ah, I love Star Wars growing up for these reasons. Now Star Wars is coming out again. And then some young kid's like, I like Star Wars for these reasons. You're like, fuck
Shut
you,
up.
Wrong
Shut
reasons.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it would be like the movie, like, I grew up in like the 80s and 90s. It would be like me going like, I like Star Wars, and a jock coming in and going like, I like Chewbacca, and like smashing my head against something. Or something. Yeah. Like, I don't get, not for you, dork. It's like, yeah. What?
That's why I think, not to go back to Marvel, but like, that's why I think Captain America is the best character, because he's a total nerd who gets power and isn't an asshole.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And that's the hardest thing for me to believe about Captain America. Is that like
the most unusual thing is that he doesn't immediately go back to his high school and kick the shit out of
all the kids in Brooklyn.
Spider-Man
him.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Peter Parker doesn't just go back to school and like fucking whatever the Marvel version of a school shooting is. Like, you fucking Peter, why are you wearing a trench coat?
We can edit that out. Right? But yeah, that's the thing.
I mentioned virtue signaling and school shooting like minutes apart.
Fantastic. Most controversial ever?
Of course, talking about Star Wars. Yeah. You're going to get to some polarizing shit. Any parting Star Wars thoughts or any excitement we have towards episode 9?
I would say if you want to have some of that old feeling about like there's so much galaxy out there.
Right.
Like, watch the cartoons, like, read the comics. Like, it's good. Like, there's still cool stuff. And again, like, if you're an adult about it, you're like, this is cool that they're adding to this.
And that's, like, maybe the main positive of Disney owning all this shit is that they have a little bit of, like, a little say on all of that.
Right.
So we're going to get some quality and some continuity across.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's like Lucasfilm people who their whole job is to like make sure everything makes sense and like connects, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's stuff out there. If you're like, if you don't like the movies, like you can still get what you like about Star Wars in other places, which is cool.
And I will also, before we get to Alden's parting Star Wars thought, my parting Star Wars thought is, if it drives you crazy, stop watching like throw on Glow. I feel like if you hate Star Wars, you're not gonna like Glow.
I just watched the Mark Maron parts where he's an asshole.
It is funny though. I watched the season one. I watched the first season. I loved it.
It's
like,
great.
And I kept saying like, the show is amazing. Maron is great. And then I found myself being like, it's a cast of like 10 women and the one guy. I'm like, I think he's really good at this.
He's got it.
He really shines.
Alison Brie is just amazing in it. You're like, I don't know.
Waving in front of him at me. I love this Marin character.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear his voice for once.
Who doesn't do any of the physical work that the rest of them clearly have trained to do.
Who's playing Mark Maron?
No, my parting thought is pretty similar to yours, which is, I think if you see a bad new Star Wars movie, it has nothing to do with old Star Wars, and it has even less to do with you.
It's a singular event.
It has nothing to do with you.
That's so true. It's so uncomfortably true, where it's just like, oh yeah, I didn't like that. Okay, my life goes on.
Are you a movie critic? Are you a movie producer? No. It has nothing to do
or
with
it. Or even, I did like that, and it didn't change anything. Nothing's better in my life now.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you have like in your heart rather than hate, and it's like, that can't hurt in the long run. Well, thank you so much for talking Star Wars. I think we should do a follow up next time you're in LA or next time I'm in New York, if 9 has come out at that point.
That'd be great.
But let's talk a little bit about what you guys got going on. I'm a big fan of your podcast Mission to Zix.
Thank you. We're a big fan of your involvement in our podcast.
I've been on two episodes, one Patreon at this point, but it's really fun. I'm gonna pitch it, but you guys can jump in. It's a comedy, improvised comedy, sci-fi, but with a narrative and continuity.
We're trying to figure that out, but it's like a space opera. That sort of,
and it's serialized, so we improvise the episodes and then we edit them down, and so they're, you know, they're tight, and we add a bunch of really great music and sound effects.
The sound design is awesome on it. It's like truly fun to listen to, like the voices sound like C-53. I mean, I'm a diehard C-53 character. Yeah. I'm a diehard fan of C-53. Weirdly enough, do you know 53 is like my lucky number?
Really?
And number and the tattoo I'm going to get next. Like, it's so weird.
Oh, wow.
And that's funny.
Throw a little C in front of it. Throw a little C in front of it.
Like Mission to Six. Patreon.com/Mission to Six. Wow, Gamers, he did a couple episodes, really got into it.
Yeah.
But it's so funny, and it's a group of really funny improvisers that I know out
the
of New
York. The last improvisers in New York.
Yeah, the last people left in New York. The last people I know left.
Yeah, right. Right.
If you added Santangeli and Atamanik, would be every person I know in New York.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
It's been really fun to, like, we talk about Star Wars, you know, I mean, like, that was a huge inspiration for us, and it's cool to have a world that, like, it's funny, but we're not, like, undercutting, like,
yeah, it's not a spoof.
No,
it's not a spoof.
You can't really improvise a great parody, so all we can do is just have the springboards of like, oh, we think it's really funny that, you know, all Hutts are crime bosses, so how does that planet work? You know,
right,
like,
yeah.
And then, you know, it's like we have a sort of, we try to start with a trope and then just use that as an you know, as a suggestion for a scene,
it's
basically.
It's really cool to get guests. We've had like you, who's great. We've had Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
Lennon Parham, and the cool thing is the guests come in with their, it's cool to learn what they want to do,
like what they love about sci-fi.
Like Lennon's was like, wanted this like Star Trek episode, like some people want a Star Trek episode, some people want a Star Wars episode. It's like really,
and then some people you ask come up with a character named B69420 who starts as a roast droid and ends as just a general scumbag.
Best name in the game. Name in the Zix game.
It is truly like, I will...
People invoke him all the time.
When like, we pitch it, we're like, yeah, we can have like, John Gabers played a guy named B69420, and that always gets a laugh, so that's why we always like, when we're always trying to tell people about it, they're
like,
always...
Yeah, it can also be lowbrow.
Just so you know.
And people can get that if they wherever they get podcasts, Mission to Zix. And what's the Patreon?
It's patreon.com/missiontozix. We put all our live episodes there. One of the things that, you know, a lot of people, you know, live episodes tend to be just a little bit different. A lot of people just want their, like, continuity of the show. And, of course, you know, with the timeline or production, we were like, let's make that just bonus content. But they're also really good. Like, all of the live episodes, we've been really excited
about. Ringtones, shit like that.
Ringtones, wallpapers. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really fun. Anything else you guys got you want to plug? Or throw out your Twitter handle so people can come after us.
Oh, yeah.
If you want.
I'm at Alden Ford. The show is at Mission to Zix.
I'm at Social Justice Warrior. I'm at
53.
I'm at Mary Sue 6969.
Ray is not a Mary Sue. I'm at Winston Knoll, N-O-E-L. And then, I also play a character called Bino, so I'm also at Bino. At Bino Tweet. That's it.
Bino Tweet. Yeah.
And I had not heard a Bino yet, but I got to sit next to a Bino, and I know Bino's a polarizing character. Put me on the yes side of Bino.
Right.
I'm a fan of Bino.
Kids love him. Kids love him. He tests well.
Wait, Alden, and I have done a bit about your character's name so many times that I can't remember what it actually is. It's Plek Detsetter?
Plek Detsetter, yeah.
Plek?
Yeah. Plet? Plek Detsetter.
Plek Detsetter. So if you, like, that's just... perfect. That just explains sort of like.
I was like, I want to make a character that's like Luke Skywalker, but everything about him is just dumber. Like the dumbest possible name that sounds like Luke Skywalker.
And it's truly like a show about you guys get a mission and you're on a ship together. You're one crew and you have to go do stuff. And you're like this dorky diplomat guy who's like kind of dumb. And you're like
bad at his job.
Audience
surrogate.
Yeah, you're like the dummy. Yeah. And then you're surrounded by, and you're like the only quote unquote human or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of essentially a interview sort of show where we go to different planets and you know, interview the leader of a planet or you know, we'll meet a villain that we have to figure out.
Some weird mission you have to do, but it's always like, meet this crazy character played by your guest for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, check it out and check out Gabrus's episode.
Yeah, check out my
It's a good starting point.
It's a good dovetail.
Yeah.
Check out my episode of Mission to Zix where I play B69420.
Catchphrase, pump it.
Pump it, right. Because someone said lifting droid, and if you say lifting around me, the only thing I think about is lifting weights.
Yeah.
So I was like, get it. I got it. My character lifts weights. It's a droid. and then I have no arms. I set myself up as having no arms and no eyes. And in the live episode, so rather difficult to do almost anything. And I realized I painted myself into a real corner as a roast droid if I can't see anything to react to.
You know, you sound like a dick.
I hear this guy's butt. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out Action Boys on Patreon. Check out Raised by TV wherever you get podcasts or on Stitcher Premium. And that's it for plugs for now for me. Just other podcasts. But don't you worry. I got plenty of shit brewing. Is this UTA that's listening? Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.